Hello, everyone, and welcome to Edge Talk Radio. My name is Angela Zabel. That's me. And today I am here with Peter Benson, and we are going to be talking about energetic awakening with energy tools. He's been an inventor of a lot of different things. It's a great story to hear, and I can't wait for you to listen to more. So, Angela Zabel, who is that? Who am I? I have been connected with spirit my entire life, working with the team in the non-physical, sharing messages from a multitude of realms with people. And I am a teacher, coach, medium, radio show host, writer, retreat host, gallery reader, speaker. And I also do speaking engagements, gallery readings, and I offer intuition, guidance, and mediumship and coaching to people online or in person. I also have the Amplified Universe monthly membership. This is going in deep. Who are we? What are we? What are we here for? And how do we work with the world we're in? So check out more about me on pretty much all the social media aspects, but go to my website, angelazabel.com. And we are here today with Edge Magazine. Edge Magazine is the leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, wellness, and the mysteries beyond. Sharing information, wisdom, and resources. Committed to promoting businesses, organizations, and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. And currently, they are distributed in 30 states and Canada with over 17,000 magazines per printing. They have a vibrant online magazine that's every month with over 42,000 people reach per month. Have a magazine shipped to your door, stay up to date with their newsletter, or become a drop spot. So go ahead and check them out at Edge Magazine. .net. And for those of you looking, there's an example of one of their Edge magazines. It is a beautiful magazine, and definitely check out the online version. So much more there. And today we are here with Peter Benson. He is the husband of a fantastic woman, Vivian Chauvet, and father of three unique beings whom all impact him in many ways daily. His journey started when he was a mechanic for over 15 years, reaching the ASE A master technician certification. It was a fulfilling and rewarding career, and he shifted to become an engineering technician, an impactful career, which he accomplished many projects in those 20 years. And then around 2016, he experienced a significant shift in his perspective. The shift led him to start reading many books by Michael Newton, Brian Weiss, and Dolores Cannon. And for those of you who haven't checked into some of these, you definitely need to. These books are here, and the experiences are all part of our higher selves, the overall plan to experience and learn. It's a concept that helped him to further his understanding with everything that he experienced, and everything had meaning. Nothing was in vain. His path was a self-discovery and has enlightened him to the ultimate question, who am I? Clearly, he's a different person than he was 20 years ago, and that's why he's here. What was important is no longer important anymore. And questions were coming to him, and he needed to find the answers. He found Slim Spurring's work during this time and found it very compelling. It was utilizing copper wire to create energetic and palpable results for people and their surroundings. It inspired him to create energetic tools. And while he was on his path, using all his previous experience, where all that mechanical, when he talked about not in vain, definitely not in vain doing this. So once he got his working tools, he started experimenting and he introduced them to other people and he started realizing how they were affecting people on a physical level. And especially he took some to a sound bath event, let them use them, and discovered that they underneath the sound bowls, they had extra energy they were giving to people. And later those people ordered extra rings too, tensor rings from him. From that moment on, he continued building tensor rings based on and guided with clear downloads that he received for bowls, coasters, shower coils, heating coils, intention coils, copper rings, fingers, and more. He discovered how he enjoyed making these copper tools and how they really felt. And he found the joy in his life, finding more balance, energy, management, vitality, mental clarity, the awakening, and more, and help this helped everyone on that journey. As a conduit, he created other designs based on angelic guidance and downloads from ascended masters. He's there to assist people ascending to their next level of conscious awakening. His chapter of his life, during his chapter of this, his life, he's created a unique energy tools and educated people about the virtues and benefits. You definitely want to go on his website. It is energiesofservice.com. And for those of you watching, you can see it right on the screen behind him. And he's also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And also, for those of you listening, you have until the end of July of 2024. You can get an extra 10% off by using the code EDGE10 when you're ordering any of his magical, mystical, and very practical tools that he has on his site. And I am so happy to have you here today, Peter. I am so happy to have you here. And I just want to ask, this has been a winding path for you and where you are now. Have you always had a sense that there was something more or something that you needed to do?
Thank you for having me on, Angela. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Not really. There was, slight inklings that I could sense more than normal. But I was, my father was a mechanic. I was, I ended up growing up just to be a mechanic like dad. It was it was just an easy path at that point. So I followed that. But when I was 17, we traveled a little bit, and I was reading this book, and it was about two younger kids, about my age, but at that time was 17, and they were trying to discover how to read aura, and I'm like, "What is this?" And I was like, I read the book, and it was really, really cool. And we were doing nothing but driving. It was through the Midwest, Southwest, so
Oh.
going from one like Zion Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Four Corners, Grand Canyon, and that's hours of driving in between spots. So I finished the book in the drive time, so it was good. But that's one of those things. It's like, okay, at that point, that kind of really hit me good, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then we went to Tucson at the end of that, and I was like, I like it here. This is cool. New England, so I'm from originally from Massachusetts, so it's like, okay,
Oh, that's a big difference in geological location.
it's a major difference in how you live and the environment, your weather, everything is different. So when it turns out in about 2003, I was like, we moved out to Arizona. I'm like, this is perfect. We moved to more of the Phoenix area instead of Tucson, but it was still Arizona. So I was like, okay, this is cool. This is where I need to be because I was drawn here for some reason. So I did my stint. I was already working for a large company for 3 years by then. I did another 17 years with it. But in 2016, 2017, I ended up starting having a shift in my energy. My energy was depleting through circumstances. I was literally just draining daily. My energy was dropping so low. My body weight had dropped. I was down to, by the time everything was said and done, I was down to about 175 pounds. I was really almost gone. Did not look good for me. My frame, I'm just, big bone. So that does not look good. And I ended up having an experience at that time where I was working night shift. So I was living that particular shift. So when you work night shift, it was literally you're staying up all night, every night. And you sleep in the morning and you sleep till like mid-afternoon. So I've been doing that for 7 years. But in the middle of that is when I had this experience. So there was one night I was sitting out under the stars out in the garage, just sitting there with a tablet, listening to music or watching videos, whatever it was. And I usually meditated for about an hour or two. There's nothing else to do, so might as well. And one night I was just sitting there meditating, and all of a sudden I got this flood of emotions coming over me. I started seeing orange and yellow and white, and I started weeping as if somebody had passed. And what I come to understand was the aspect that I was born with was depleted enough. It had to leave, and I had a new aspect come in at that point. And leading up to that, I was really curious because part of the story I didn't talk about was it was like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I was, or a week on, week off. I was really, really kind of drained. And then the next week or a week after, I'd be like super happy and full of energy. And it was go up and down. It would literally shift. It was oscillating. I was like, what is going on? Then that happened. And I didn't understand anything until probably a couple of years afterwards. But after that happened, my entire life started shifting. So at that point, I started reading the books, Michael Newton, Brian Weiss, Dolores Cannon. And I found, like I said, Slim Sperling. It was all those books that actually helped me understand. It's like, oh, okay. So if Brian Weiss and Michael Newton are regressing people and they're talking about the spirit world and what they do on the other side and the whole structure of it. And you get Dolores Cannon's talking about all these people and they're, you know, they're not from around here. Souls have been incarnated doing things here, you know, caretakers of the garden type of stuff, or the regressions going into Nostradamus, which was one of my favorite ones, was the one story where she talks about she was regressing a person who was reincarnating, but in a lifetime when they went back to it, he was Nostradamus's student.
Oh, interesting.
So when they were in regression, Dolores was talking to him. It's like, okay, let's go into the classroom and moving in. Look around, tell me what you see. And he's not around here yet, but he's looking around, explaining the entire environment. And the next thing you know, Nostradamus comes stepping down into it. And he's like, I've been waiting for this. And she was expecting Dolores to be talking through. And actually, Nostradamus was talking to her directly.
Nice.
It was the cool, I mean, the discourse that went on. It was like totally captivating. And I got stuck in that book. It was out of this world. I'm like, okay, so time is a complete illusion. I mean, if you can do that kind of, you know, connections, it was intense.
I think that's something people, it's a mind bender. It really is, that time is a complete illusion and that you can access so many different things. And Dolores Cannon, boy, she accessed a lot. And the Nostradamus one, I think that's the coolest one in there.
It really is.
I forgot about it until after you started mentioning it. I'm like, oh, I remember it now. And it's like, man, that it was so cool. And you forget there's so much that you take in when you start on this journey. I love that you brought that up for people. I think it's going to be very helpful. And I think people are going to be checking into that one a little bit more.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are books that you read that are, there's a lot of books that where the author is not really a writer. So it's a dry read. You know, when you get into the Brian Weiss's, Brian Weiss is a little drier. Michael Newton's, his writing style is actually kind of sucks you in with all of the detail. He might be kind of a dry writer, but when he gets into all the details of all the regressions, it's all of a sudden you're like, really? Okay, what's next? What's next? What's then you get sucked into it. Dolores Cannon had a knack for writing in a way that really had the story flowing. And it was not necessarily from one person. It could have been from dozens of people. And she consolidated all the stories into one. And it was really impressive how she did her work and how she communicated it. Her daughter does not have
No.
the gift of gab and writing that her mother did. She's doing her best at communicating all the information, but it's just she just did not have the gift of writing that her mom did. And
Absolutely.
I hope she can actually improve. Yeah.
There's
Because
definitely a flow with Dolores.
Really was. So it was amazing.
Absolutely. And as you started, you know, going through these books, and you were still doing your, as they say, your regular job at that point, correct?
Yes.
How did
Yeah, I was still.
How did that kind of all fit together? Was it more of like you're learning all this on the side? Did you ever think you would meld both worlds together?
No, it almost didn't. Because it actually forces you to be very creative, and it opens up the other side. So where I was working engineering technician is, it's creative to a point, but it's mostly logical, controlled, data-driven decisions. Data-driven movement, anything is all data, 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 data. So that's all left brain. Is it documented? Is everything, I mean, everything is you know, all data and documentation. It's insane. And you lose the creativity part where you follow the data too much and you stop listening to intuition. You know, and it's just like when I was a mechanic, I was using intuition a lot, trying to diagnose, you know, troublesome problems. And it helped a lot. It was really kind of fun.
I
Everybody's
was
like,
gonna
how'd you
say,
find that? Yeah.
my team has been coming in and they're saying, but he used his intuition all the time when he was working on machinery, all the time. And he could
Yeah.
find things that others could not find. He was aware of something that was happening that people would find one part and you would find the other part that was actually causing that part. And my team is saying, your intuition has been on fire your whole life. It's just how you used it has been different.
Yeah. And that's part of the growth. And it's just like, I knew when I was a mechanic, I knew the intuition was there. I didn't understand it at all. I didn't know how to really hone it other than just utilizing it when I was doing diagnostics. Other than that, it kind of felt dormant. It's like, okay, what's the easiest way to take this car apart, put it back together? That would be intuition following. Yes, it's just kind of simple steps, mostly common sense. And you'd be surprised how many people are missing that.
Not always.
But but it's up one of those things. It's just like, okay, so doing those things and intuition was there. It was really, really good. So going from a mechanic, being able to work with metals and torches and tools and equipment to working in the engineering technician world, which is very data driven, a lot of equipment. I mean, all kinds of robotics to just standard equipment to really, really intense multi-million dollar pieces of equipment that I utilized throughout the 20 years when I was doing that job. And it was a lot of fun working with those tools because it's impressive on what man can actually do when you put your mind to actually accomplishing a task and the kind of equipment and machinery and technology required to build the tools that are actually doing it, which is just like insane.
That is huge. I think a lot of people don't realize how much is behind, tools of any sort, how much is really behind that, how much creativity and thought had to happen for that to do all of the things we do now with them without thinking about where did it come from? Where did it come from? So my team is telling me though, even when these new tools would come in, you almost had an innate ability to read the tools and understand how they worked quicker than a lot of the other people in your division, as you might say.
Oh yeah. No, one of my jobs is I used to actually call it, it's like I'm an engineering technician, not an engineer. An engineer tells me this is what it's going to do and this is the specification. I'm gonna basically go to the engineer saying the tool will not do what you're telling it to do. It will get mostly there, but it will not get there. And then they'll argue with me all day long on the specs. And then we go and do a data-driven analysis. Design of experiment, as you would call it, and we're going to hit all ends of it and go all different avenues and then come back to the point of no, it will not do what you're telling it to do.
Which you knew way before.
Oh, I knew that long, long before it, but just the people that, there's one person that I worked with, he was actually is a genius, but he is so stuck on his ego at work, it was impossible to actually communicate. And he had to have data, 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 and to the point where it was almost wasting time. And every time it came down to it, I was right before we even started. It would always try, always roll, loop right back to it. It's like, I told you.
Because you were
Yes, now
listening
you have your
to intuition.
data and you can prove it to everybody that yes, that I was right. But thank you.
And I think that's something for people to really pay attention with. A lot of times we look at, the awakening and understanding all this, the big expansive areas. We forget that we should be using that every day in our everyday life, at your job, every single day. It's not something to be, put in a closet, taken down off the shelf, and use here and there. That's something to be using every day in everything you do to make your life easier and not have to struggle and take longer to do something that you don't need to do.
Absolutely. And you're correct. It's what you need to do. For me, it was letting the intuition come out and understanding it, just taking a risk, listening to it, and just take notes and find out whether it was right or not. And over time, you'll actually start seeing it's more right than wrong. And you're going to start seeing it's like if you start acting on them in your life, you're like, oh, okay, things start to move along. It's the synchronicity thing. That the more synchronicities you see, the more you get, and it just starts to flow.
I
So
love
for me, that was, yeah. And that's basically what happened to me after I start, after I got out of all that stuff was going on. I literally just resigned from them. It was May of last year, resigned from the corporate world. But I was doing both with the tools and the technician for quite a few years together, about 7 years together, 6 years together.
It's a lot. And there's a lot of people that,
It is.
you know, end up going, you're working your, as I say, the regular job, and then working on the side job and getting the one to go further. And as you started doing that, you were just exploring and doing all the different aspects, but then you got into Slim. I'm trying to find the name. Slim, the Slim.
Slim, yeah, Slim Sparling. Yep.
Slim Sparling. And how did that happen? Was that just something like a magical book that appeared, or something that came on your radar, your intuition led you to it? And then how did you go from that to then creating your own energetic tools?
So I was after the awakening piece and after reading the books. It took a while to read the other books because Dolores had 17 or 18 or 19 or something like that. So it took a while, but I read them all because she's really good. And so I did. But I found old interview with Slim Sperling with Alan Steinfeld. Yeah. And it was talking about what the tools were and how they worked. And it's, you know, Slim Sperling calls it a scalar energy and energy tools, that the science for it is really kind of hidden from mainstream, and the energies of these tools can be measured and used. In his books, they actually document the fact that they actually had them tested at Lockheed Martin and also a lab in Germany for the energies of the tool that he was talking about, which was a sacred qubit tensor ring. And that one actually harmonized, was a frequency of 144 megahertz. And it was a resonant frequency of hydrogen, and it was working on the physical body. So that's where I started. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And he open sourced the entire idea and everything that he was doing. You know, he was that kind of guy. He was just like I am. You know, it's like he was a tinkerer. He was, you know, he got the nickname Slim because he was a, you know, a very slim, tall person. So in the Navy, they gave him that name, Slim. And it stuck.
I love
but
that.
it was he was working with a gentleman who was a physicist, because what they were doing when he really started finding this technology is he was actually recovering metals from local area. I think it was in the Colorado area at the time, but he was recovering precious metals out of different things. I'm not sure if it was actually out of recycling or whatnot, but they were doing the metals recoveries. So they were already working with precious metals. But what they found is the copper, when you actually made a ring out of it, it actually created a field.
Yeah.
And that's the tensor field that was actually discovered originally by John Archibald Wheeler in 1957, Manhattan Project physicist. So
I was
that's
going
the
to
big
say, it
leagues.
sounds very familiar to a show I've seen.
Yeah. Well, he was the physicist to coin the name black hole. That was him. He was the one who brought that into existence, the name for that. So, I mean, his name is there. Not many people know it was him that said it. And a lot of the information that he created was out there is quite compelling. So in his book he published in 57, he actually documented the tensor technology. And that's what he called it, because it's an energy of all directions. So a tensor field creates an energy field on three different directions. So X, Y, Z, all at the same time.
Well, I think people are going to have to definitely check out that book and check out the information on there. So I really feel there's a lot of people, they keep telling me, there's a lot of people listening to this program that are very left brain, very, I need to figure it out, I need the data, I need everything there. And so they're just saying there's so many people listening there that way to this program. And this is very good information for them to do a little more research on their own.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you want to read there's three books. There's two books, one autobiography, one biography on Slim. One of them is In the Mind of a Master. I can't remember the name of the other. And then there's a third book that utilizes tensor technology and understands what it does with water. And it's called Dances with Water, or Dancing with Water. And it's got a waterfall on the front, and it talks about how the tensor fields can actually reset water back to its native energy state. If you've ever seen the documentary on Gaia about the, I can't remember what the name of that one was, the journey of water or something like that. It's about Russian scientists that go to Ecuador or Guatemala or something down in South America on one of those really tall 800-foot plateaus where water is literally created nightly, you know, because the mist comes out. And then when it actually gets condensed, it starts raining. And then the waterfalls come off them nonstop. The water coming off of those is 100% pure and full of energy. They've tested it. And then they, you know, they did the Yagamoto stuff, and they actually talk about how the energy of the water just gets distorted over time. But what they're saying now is with the tensor rings, you can actually go back in and utilize the tensor rings to actually re-energize your water. They were creating alkaline water with it. It changes the pH. It removes chemicals. It, you know, it basically, it takes everything that's out of alignment, puts it back into alignment, which is really impressive. So all these books are very science, data-driven stuff. I mean, obviously the biographies are his life, but it gives a lot of evidence to his record. And then from there, you can do your own and understand it from there. But for me, once I saw those documentaries, and there was a couple other people out there in the world doing tensoring, because it's open source, so anybody can make them. It's just a matter of time and capacity to do so. And then your intention, and that's the big one, your intention has to be there. The first couple rings I made, I had no intention. I was just using my left brain, my mechanic in me, to create these. They didn't work. Plain and simple, they would not work. They were just tools. They were just copper wire at that point. So yes, you can make them, but you have to be in the right space to make them work.
Why? How did you, when you found they didn't work, how did you go back? I mean, what made you go back and go, do I need intention on this? Because was in those books, did he also talk about intention or not really? Or was this your own intuition?
The intention part comes from a few other people that are actually working in tensor rings on, you know, following your intentions and stuff like that, but not necessarily telling you that you need to create them using intention. But it's more of, you know, when you're creating them, the intention has to be there to actually create the tools that are, you know, to have that actually energy, the high potency energies of the tools. And then on top of that, the tools are controlled by intention. So that's the coolest part. Yeah, you turn them on, you turn them off, you turn them up, turn them down. You synchronize them to you. You reset them to you all by a thought. It's the only one out there in the world you can actually control with a thought. Unless it's like secret space program where you're controlling a ship that way. But, you know, hey, I don't have that stuff. So
not yet.
not yet.
You may.
You never know. So it came down to, I was making some rings and I was like, okay. And I couldn't feel them at the time. So it took about 3 months before they actually started doing anything. And then they started powering up. So I was actually in the process of going to sound baths and meditations and stuff like that. So I was more on my journey. You know, I was, you know, coming into more of who I was and getting way more, what do you want to call it? More centered.
Right.
Even though I was going through a very traumatic time in my life, I was trying to become more centered, trying to find out who I was, you know, where am I going, kind of thing. So from there, they started working. And then I made a very large, what they call it, I call it a portal ring, because it actually is a one-way vortex. So it has an energy draw on one side and energy output on the other. So it's like, it'll draw out energies that are not yours. And then you have to get out of it. And then you can flip it over and it'll recharge you like a battery. And it's kind of fun. But it was so big, it was literally 7 foot across. So it's 25 foot long. So I had this massive ring in the shop. And I have it one side in a vise, one other side clamped, and I'm brazing it back together. And as soon as I brazed it, I could feel that thing turn on. And it made me jump out of the ring. I was like, what the? I was like, okay, this one works. I could feel this one. you know, it was one of those things. It's like you stick your finger in a light socket and it's like, oh, I got that. Yeah, it's one of those. It made you jump. It made me jump.
And that is a huge ring. What made you decide to go so large with it?
Just curious.
I was
It's one
gonna
of those
say.
things. It's like, okay, how big and how small do we go? I mean, I was going down to, like finger rings. It's like I was literally down to little itty bitty finger rings. It's
Oh.
like, I just put it on. And so I wear it. But I went all the way from finger rings all the way up to that. So I was just like, okay, this is cool. And we found that through evidence, we've actually seen the crystal bowls. I made three. Four of them, I think it was. Yeah, four of them for a lady doing the sound bath. And she put four of them under four of her bowls. And then she didn't do anything for a day. Then the second day, she tried them out. And on that second day, she texted me, "Can you make 10 more?" Because she had the higher, the regular chakras and higher chakras. So she had 14 bowls. It
Wow.
made such a difference that she had to do all of them. And then that big ring that we had the energy vortex in, we put that around all of her bowls with the energy up. The
Wow.
energy output. So it made the sound bath far more potent. It was crazy. It was really fun. So that was the time where I was like, okay, this stuff is real. It's really functional. I was making healing coils at the time, pulling energy out, pulling energy in, more like doing Reiki, but in a little coil. So you didn't have to put yourself in the middle to do the energy work.
Nice.
And you could, what's interesting is you can use the tensor rings to find the issues, and then from there you can use the coils to pull and push. So you pull the energy out, then you flip it over and push energy back in to balance the body. It's the
So
same thing as Reiki.
you're doing the pull push and you're doing the different aspects with energy. When people purchase one of your products, do you have some instructions on there, or is it just, do you have instructions on your website for people who are just like, I want to try this. I really don't know much about it, but I want to know how it works. Do you have that out there for people?
There's a video on there on the website right now that shows you how to control your intention-based energy tool.
Nice.
Okay, and it gives you basic instructions. And I like it, and I there's like the first half is the basic instructions. When you put it on, you reset it. Actually, let's have a little fun here. I'm gonna switch the screen here.
You need me to do a share? I'll let you share screen.
Oh, I
There.
got it right there. Right there. So at the bottom right of my screen is an Archangel Michael pendant.
Nice.
Okay.
Very
So
cool.
with that pendant, what you can do is if you focus on that pendant, visualize it, like put your hand on your chest, like you have it underneath your hand.
Okay.
Visualize it there. Connect to it. Tell it to reset with a thought, and then tell it to go to full power.
Interesting.
You can do that remotely, and you can do this with all the tools. And this is that part of the video. The first part of the video is just that. So anybody can feel the tools. And this is the instructions when I do interviews and stuff. And it's like, okay, use this technique to understand which tool is for you. If you're buying online and you can't feel it
Oh.
and experience it personally, like at a show, do that. And what'll happen is you can actually get used to the energy. And when you get it, it's going to be more potent than what you're ready for. Yes. But then if it speaks too strong, when you go to full power, if it gets too strong, just tell it to go to your comfort level and it turns itself right down. It's the coolest thing.
Interesting. I love the fact that you help, tell people, go on there and feel, see what one's best for you and do it that way. I think that's so important because a lot of people forget, like, oh, maybe I should tune into me and tune into the object and see what's best for me. And I love the fact that you have the kind of go through some of the instructions with people and go through it. So people, because there's a lot of people. And they're saying, my team is saying there's a lot of people that are listening that sometimes some of this may be the first time they're hearing any of this. And they're just wondering, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I start? And they're seeing and learning from you some various easy techniques to help them as they move forward in their journey.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for me to go from the roles that I was in to get over here. Being with Vivian was a very what do you want to call it? It was a change in the way I view things rather drastically. Being who she is, it was actually really interesting and gonna change my life completely. So I love it that way.
And just so people know, I did interview Vivian Chavez, and she will, you'll be able to find her in some of my other interviews. You definitely want to go back and check her out because she has some great information you definitely want to share. And You two together as a team, boy, I think you're unstoppable on what you can accomplish together. I'm excited to see where everything's going to continue to evolve for you both going forward because it's definitely going to be making an impact in our world here and felt by many worlds around us.
We have two different journeys, but we're doing it together. We,
Yes.
you know, her mission is different than my mission, but we're doing it together. It's really when we know that. I support her and she supports me in the, you know, in the real life, but our journeys are, you know, she's doing something completely different than I'm doing. I can't do what she does, and she can't do what I do. So what I do, so it's kind of fun.
You both balance
So.
each other out in a lot of different ways. And you know, and my team is just saying the balancing that you're both doing helps each other in so many ways, but also the balancing what you create helps balance people in a physical state on so many different levels. And you know, you touched on a little bit where you talked about the higher energies and with the sound bowls of hitting different levels of frequency. Are you finding, and so they want me to back up even further. You do this with intention. What is your intention behind everything?
During creation, my intention is I am divine light. Aham Prama. And that's the mantra I do when I'm doing the copper work. That's the base structure of all the tools, is Aham Prama, doing the work. And believe me, that's what, when I started doing that, when I was starting to create the tools, that's when they turned on.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was the actual trick right then and there. And it's not really a trick. It's just focusing your energy on something that you have to believe in. It's more right brain than left brain. You have to let go of the logic. You're not going to be able to quantify, I am divine light. There's no way of measuring that one. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Maybe
Not
later.
yet. Maybe later. Not yet. So that was one of the things that really kind of pushed me through. And the tools really start. I was creating pendants, but they weren't like these. The ones now are actually designed and guided by the archangels. And that came in right after I got the bowls and the big ring and the sound bath. I was actually having a healing session on myself. And at that point, Metatron came in and says, "I need you to make anklets." And I'm like, "A what? You
You
want
don't
me to
wear
make anklets?
anklets.
I don't wear anklets. I'm not doing anklets. What's up with this anklets thing?" And he goes, it was kind of funny. He's like, "Yeah, well, yeah, it has to be a tense ring." I was like, "Okay, I can do that. Copper mesh." I'm like, "Okay, that'll be interesting. I don't have no idea what you're talking about or where I can get it, so that'll be interesting." And then it has to have these five crystals. So it's like, okay, you have tiger's eye, lapis, black onyx. I knew those three. I've never heard of morganite or tanzanite at the time either. So I'm like, okay. So I got to go find those, understand those. So it was a complete journey for me. I'm like, okay, this is new. And it took about a year and a half to get this design finalized. And the hardest part was actually getting the copper mesh, actually.
Really? I would think that would be
Yep.
the
And
almost
then
the easiest part.
the pentagram ring was the easiest part. The crystals were the second easiest. You just go research them and find the source and you bring them in and put them all together. But the copper mesh was the hardest part, because most of the time you find the copper mesh is the loose copper mesh, and it's like really see-through. It won't hold anything in there, and you have to have the copper mesh to keep all the crystals intact inside. So that's when the anklet came in, and it was about 2 years, about a year and a half or 2 years after that, or something like that. After I fully designed it, was really busy with a family reorganization. And I had let things go because of life was just really kicking my butt between everything going on and work. I wasn't really doing the tools. At that point, Vivian was a big part of my life, and she actually had a dream state message for me. It was really interesting, where she came into this large open room. There was three women standing in front of her, and then three portals opened right behind each one of the women. One portal behind each woman. And then the next thing you know, it's just like the scanning thing, all of a sudden there's like whoop. There was three giant, higher dimensional beings in there. Viv was saying like the ninth dimensional beings, something like that. They're about 100 feet tall energetically. And they were communicating through the three women so that they, you know, Vivi can understand it. And it was, tell Peter to start making the tools now. I'm like, oh. So I get scolded.
See, yeah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, they just scolded me not to for not making them. And I'm like, do you understand what I'm doing? And it's like, yes, but it doesn't matter, get working. So that was where it all really started. And creating the tools, creating the pendants. And then the tool, the anklet, was extremely powerful. I mean, they are extremely powerful. And in 2019, we had a lady we met in San Francisco who was very visual on the way she saw the energy of it. And she put them on and she goes, oh, that is the most interesting feeling I've ever had. And she was like, okay. It's very grounding. So it's, and that was one of the first things you feel is very grounded. Your feet feel like they're actually in the floor. So what it does is actually it draws your energy field down. So your energy feels like you're in the floor. So energetically, you feel like you're in the floor, but you can't quite cognitively match it with your physical body. So it feels weird. You feel very grounded.
Nice.
And then the way she's like, she explained it is like, it closes your torus. So if you visualize the donut energy field that's going this way and it's going this way, it's going both directions, bidirectional.
Nice.
Right? If you figure that and you put a cork in the top and bottom, where does that energy go? It just rotates around. Now the energy doesn't come into your bubble, it stays on the outside of your bubble.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Very
And
interesting.
what Metatron, his message was when he gave me that, the how-to, is like to keep your vibration yours or your frequency yours as we go through this time. So I'm sure Metatron's sitting there going,
That's something very, that's something that's been coming up increasingly more is staying in your own energy, staying in your own power. Don't be taking on everything else. Don't be doing that. It's staying right here, right now, and don't be taking anything else on. And really, that's been a lot of questions I've received lately of people, how do I stay here? How do I not take it on? And you have. So this is the ring, the anklet ring that you've been doing that originally started this with the balancing and keeping it here, keeping your energy here. That's important
Yep.
for so many people.
It is. It
And
really, really is. And if a lot of people say, like, I'm really sensitive and I get really worn out when I go to the store, or I can't go to concerts anymore, or I can't go here anymore. It's just too much. And it's like, these are the tools for you. Period. Those are the tools, these are the two type of tools that you really need. And what they're going to do is protect your energy field so that you can feel you. And the thing, the funny thing is, it's like when you put the anklets on and you block out the world, guess what you're going to feel? You. Nobody else, just you. And it's going to be the strangest sensation you're going to ever have. Because before you were born, you're inside your mother's field, and you are inside that bubble. So when you come out of that field, now you're going to be bombarded by everybody else's. It's really not in our natural state to be fully shielded. So this actually creates a shield out of your own field.
I keep hearing, so I've worked with Metatron in the past, and he's worked with me quite a bit on creating some things he wanted me to create for people also. So it was just, it's fun talking with you. And one thing I keep hearing from him is you have created something together with him. He's taking some of the credit, of
Yes.
course.
Oh, it's his. Oh no, this is all his. I am the hands and the ability to put it into one piece. I'm the creator, but his design, 100% his design.
Absolutely. And he said it's there because there's so many people that don't know the correct way to shield themselves to until they learn the tools to do it on their own. This is something that can help so many people so they can learn to do it on their own. That's really cool. Very
That's it
cool.
right here.
Wow.
So it's, yes, it has a plastic cover on it. That plastic cover is new over the last year or two to protect the copper mesh. The copper mesh used to get very tarnished and get broken up. And it was actually creating little what do you want to call it? Little wire sticking out, pokers.
Right.
And it would bother people on their ankles.
Oh,
What about
absolutely.
the anklet?
Because you're wearing it all the time. You have it on. Can that also, if it's an anklet, can it also be used as on your wrist too?
You have to ask it. Ask Metatron because I don't know.
Okay.
We've had
So
people do it.
one thing I keep hearing from him, from Metatron, is the reason he had the anklet is because you're closer to the ground, you're closer to those grounding chakras in your body, those energetic aspects, and that is there to work in tandem with your body to do the extreme grounding that a lot of people need. And for a lot of people, like just awakening, just starting out and just going, I don't know what's going on. This is a wonderful tool to help you keep your energy to you as you go through and work and find new ways to navigate the world in this new energy for you. But that, yeah, because he's saying it'll work on the wrist, but not as much as on the ankle, just because it's specifically designed for that area. I love it.
My intuition came through with most of what you just said from Metatron. The other piece was my logical side was like, okay, well, it's helping you ground because it's at your feet with with the lower chakras there, your feet chakras, and keeping you grounded. Yes. The other part was my logical mind was saying, it feels like, because this was my logical brain going along with the creative side and going, okay. Because people keep on asking it, why do I have to do it? Can I wear it as a bracelet? It's like, I don't know. We've never really fully tested it that way. It'll work, but I don't think it's going to be as powerful for you.
Right.
What I was getting is, and Metatron will probably say yay or nay, but I'm getting is when you first put them on, the first thing you feel is the grounding because it's actually working on the chakras right there. And then
Absolutely.
secondly, it's going to close your field down, and it's going to close your field down at the root first. Close the bottom of your torus first and then come back around and loop up and close the top. So I felt that that's how it works. And it's like, how are you going to be able to really close your field down if it's on your arms?
Right. Yeah, I feel from him this is specifically for the ankle on purpose to help, especially people that are really, he's just saying, especially people who really take on a lot of stuff, who really can't get out of their own, can't let it go and take on so many other people's energy. It's super important to wear it as an anklet.
Yeah.
And
So, and what happened after that was, okay, so I got them created. We were talking and working with other people. And I had a friend of ours who was our accountant at the time. I gave her a pair of these to experience it because one of the three couple things that people really have a hard time doing is paying their taxes and giving money to the government. It's just like all those things. And you kind of blame the accountant for doing what the work is. And all she's doing is making sure you're doing the numbers right. Right.
right.
But it was tax time back in 2017, 2018, something like that. I gave her these. She had them for 3 days and she told me to come get them. She couldn't wear them. Her husband would not let her wear them. They worked perfectly for her. She was like, this works so well. It just made my day easier all around. But her husband wouldn't let her wear them. So at that point, I was like, okay, show me what I need to do. I can put it in a pendant form and what do I need to do? I know it's not going to be copper mesh covered, but will this create the similar or same effect? And that's the Metatron pendant right there.
Nice.
And instead of what we found is instead of actually closing your whole field down. So we've seen that documented by, HeartMath. So you have that giant heart bubble coming off our body. And so it caps the top and bottom. So that's the anklet. So what we found next was there's other visualizations where you see, the Vitruvian man arm out and the multiple layers of energy coming off of our physical body. So you have your skin, then you have an emotional layer, then you have layer, 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 layer. It's multiple layers of energy, just a bubble right above your physical. What we found is the Metatron pendant and all the pendants based on that shielding effect do shield, but you're walking around in a very tight bubble. It's no longer your torus, it's a tight bubble closer to your body. So it does the same shielding, but differently. There is no grounding effect, but this will actually shield you. And when you put this on, I've had so many people tell me that it's like they get hot they feel like they've just imagine what would happen if you put on a Middle Ages plate armor.
Oh.
You would feel like you went clunk and you would feel hot because it's heavy and you're carrying it. The course, you're not putting anything on, but energetically, your field gets a little compressed. So you start feeling warmer.
That makes total sense. And really, there's people, everything's still not totally acceptable out there. And to have something that isn't so attention drawing is something that's needed for people too. It's just where we are and where people are more comfortable themselves. Sometimes you're not comfortable wearing something like the anklet, but with a pendant, it's, you know, it's like, oh, it's a neat piece of jewelry, and people, it doesn't draw so much attention to you as you're shielding yourself and walking amongst all of the others around you. You're not taking it on. So absolutely, it's absolutely needed on all of the different aspects you have. And you also do the rings too. Is that also with the Metatron with that, or is that with the Tensor, or a combination of both?
I haven't built the rings since 2018. So it's been a long time since I've made rings. It's when I was making them, I was just doing it specifically for different people. And it wasn't financially viable because the amount of time it would take to create a ring. And you would literally be paying the same amount of money as you'd pay for something at the jewelry store.
Yeah.
Because the amount of time and labor involved, it's, you have to actually, you know, use copper, flat plate copper to create the backing. And then you have to create two tensor rings at the right size to fit whatever finger you're going to be doing it. So each different size is going to be a different tensor ring.
Yeah.
So it may not be the root, it might be the heart, or it might be the throat, or it might be the crown, or, you know, third eye or whatever. So the rings are different. And that's when I was like, okay, so it took too much time to create them. It was about 15, 20 hours a piece.
Say
You
that
know,
would be a lot of time, a lot of effort, and then having so many different sizes and things available, just
yeah,
regular business sense doesn't make sense.
Right. So there's a lady that wants to make them, and I think she's retired. So I think I need to talk to her again, see if she wants to do it. Willing, she'll have to come out and do some training with me, of course. But
so
yes,
something just came up, and they're just bringing it up, and I don't know if you've ever done this or. Has anyone ever used one of your tensor rings to put like under their chair and maybe do some meditation with? Is that something? Are your
Yes.
tensor rings big enough to do that? And is that a possibility?
They're not on the website right now, but we do travel with them. And I made a couple extra tensor rings to go to the Conscious Life Expo a couple weeks back. The tensor rings are approximately 200 centimeters in length. So they're almost 2 foot across in diameter. Diameter, whatever. And you can actually sit this. You can sit in them. You can put them under a chair, put them under your bed. We've had people put them underneath like the healing tables, massage tables. If you're doing Reiki and stuff like that, you can put the rings underneath the tables and it projects up because the tensor technology itself is a tensor generator, a tensor field generator, or torus generation. So it actually has a donut energy field coming from it. The difference is with this is like when you actually have that torus energy field, it creates, let's see here, switch back here. Okay. These. So here, let me switch that back here and switch.
Oh, there you
Okay.
go.
So
Figured.
Here. It creates a torus like this and then like this. So when you're wearing it, you're getting an energy field towards your heart chakra, right?
Nice.
But it also creates like a flashlight effect of energy coming off. Slim Sperling actually found that, and he was actually doing cloud work. So he had the big 2 foot ring like this, and he was like, and his friend was, I think, 4 or 5 miles away, and he called him on the phone. It's like, hey, I'm gonna point this thing at this cloud. I want you to see what is going on. And they actually, both of them were watching the cloud, and he was literally moving the ring around and actually dissolving the cloud.
Really? How cool. So all the, and I'm just encouraging people. expand your consciousness a little bit, check into some of these books, check into some of the research back there, because there is so much going on, so much going on so many different levels. And especially now, energy is shifting like through the roof. And how do you, when you've been making these tensor rings for a while, has things have been evolving as you've gone, have you been going, and you have been always in contact with those on the other side, with those angelic beings, with the ascended masters, with Metatron? Has he been changing some things up, adding things in as you've been evolving also?
Oh, big time. And it's kind of funny. I'll switch back to the other scene here. So what happened was, is like, we ran into the problem where I needed a pendant to cover so that it can be innocuous. You can hide it. You can hide your energy tool in plain sight with a pendant. You really can. And a guy can wear it, and it's feminine and masculine at the same time.
Like it.
Okay. Yeah. It's big enough to get, be a masculine thing. And it's a little bit too big for a lot of women, but it's actually, they just wear it and it actually just does what it's supposed to do. It's a tool.
Right.
So when I was making these, right, that's Metatron, I was making those, Michael says, I want one.
Not to be
and
outdone.
That's like, not to be outdone. It's and it was like, okay. And I was just like, okay, I was making Michael's, and it's like, okay, so now we have the three extra crystals in it. We have green mica, which is actually a more masculine heart crystal.
Nice.
Selenite for clearing.
Nice.
And then we have the turquoise, which is calming. And also a throat to speak your truth stuff. So when you're wearing the Michael, it doesn't feel like you put on armor. It actually feels like you just put on a warm blanket. It feels like you're very comfortable, and it really helps you feel like you're in control. It feels like Michael's behind you. He's got your back. You know, he's there with the sword and shield and ready to go. And you just feel safe. So that's when you, that's where Michael came in. And Michael had that one, and I was been making Michaels and Metatrons for quite a while. And then the next thing I know, I get a message, and I'm like, okay. The next thing I get, it's like, you need to go, and you need to make them out with these three ring. I'd make it a three ring pendant. I'm like, okay. So I made a three ring pendant. Let me flip that over so you can see the cool copper.
Interesting.
Oh, I didn't know which three rings. You know, they're very definitive like that. They just say, make one out of three rings. I have to go figure out which ones will fit inside each other.
That's using your intuition. They're good with that. Like, they'll give you the main, and then you got to figure it out from there.
Yeah, exactly. It's so helpful. And then I ask, what does it do? And they're like, you'll figure it out. I'm like, oh.
They are very good that way.
Yeah, they are really good
nuts.
That way. So, and it's kind of funny the way this that pen there with the three rings, it's obviously bigger. You can see that. The funny thing is like when I actually got the measurements all out, and I'm like, okay, these fit within each other, and they fit pretty good. They're not super tight, they're not really loose, but they're, you know, they look good that way. The energy is third eye, crown chakra, and star chakra. It's like boom, 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 and it's just like, and it opens you right up, and it has the same crystals as a Michael.
Oh, interesting.
It doesn't
Interesting that
feel
they
the
had
same
the
as a
same
Michael.
crystals.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely feels very different. Totally different energy between the three of them. All totally different.
Most
Very.
definitely. So after that, we were in Mount Shasta, and I was making a pendant that was called the Chill Pill.
I like that.
And it was coined by a client of mine. I made a pendant for him, and it was selenite and turquoise. And he put it on, and it's like, oh, this thing's just like taking a chill pill, and it's like chilling out, man. This is awesome. Thank you. Because he was actually a, what do you call it? Physical therapy therapist. So
Okay.
he was helping everybody do all the physical therapy, and he was bouncing around between five different people all at the same time.
Yeah.
So he was always like, ding, 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 ding. He's like always stressed out. So he had one of those, and that's what he called it, the chill pill.
Nice.
And we met a therapist up in Mount Shasta a couple years ago, and I gave her one of those to, you know, because she was working with a lot of vets, you know, police, military, first responders type, and she was using that pendant with them. And a year later, she came back and she handed that pendant back to me, and she's like, thank you very much, now make a pendant for it.
No.
that's for specific work, specifically for PTSD. And at that point, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? And it's like, and then I basically got the channeled message down to come down to was this right
Wow.
here. That what is Archangel Shamuel.
That's very cool. It's definitely got a whole different energy with that one. A whole different energy. Say, is that also anxiety? Oh, wow. Very cool.
They all do. They all glow. So they have fun. I add fun to it. So I can actually get it in here a little bit more. So the Shamuel as the same outer ring as Metatron and Michael, but the inner ring is your star chakra. So if you think about that, the outer ring is heart, last qubit, which is your heart emotional field. And then the inner ring is your star chakra connected to your higher self. So what
Nice.
two rings would be better to understand who you are and understand, you know, where you're coming from, to remember who you are. And that's where the archangel came in for that one is Archangel Shamuel, to know
Nice.
yourself. And that one actually has all the same crystals as Michael, so you still have the shielding, the calming, clearing, and healing, but you have 10 specific crystals that were actually doused out over probably about a 4-week period. There was a list of 60 different crystals because if you actually go the metaphysical aspects of crystals and find anything with stress, trauma, night terrors, waking terrors, all those different things, you're going to have a list of crystals that are about 60 to 100 long
Yeah.
because all of them have other aspects to it. So it actually took me about 4 weeks, but I ended up dowsing it down to 10.
Well.
So this pendant actually has 18 crystals specifically designed for stress, trauma, and keeping you very calm. So what we've found so far is when you actually have somebody that has had that kind of a stress and trauma, it's very calming. And when you have a trigger point, you're almost like a witness to the trigger. And
Yeah.
then from there, this is where when we're talking to folks with the intentions on these tools, this is where you start putting intentions on. It's like, okay, that just triggered me. Do I need to understand this? Just put your hand on the pendant. You ask it, do I need to understand this? No. Can I get rid of this? Yes. Then pull it out by its roots, because by its roots will tell you to pull it out from the incident and every recurring nightmare, dream, trigger point along the way. And it pulls them all out at the same time. It may not be instantaneous, but it'll pull them all out. And you'll notice that you get less and less and less triggered over time. And it's not that long of a period of time either. It's pretty quick.
Nice. I love that aspect of it because I've had a lot of people where they're saying, well, it took me this many years to get here to this point. It's going to take me that many more years to get rid of it again. But the energy is here to support us in having fast movements through this fast releasing. So you're not ever going to take as long as it took to get there to get rid of it, to release it. And that's something I think is very important for people to realize. And I really like the fact that with this one, there's so many people with the anxiety and the trauma and all of that rolled up into one. And to be able to have something to help them through that on a quicker, I just keep hearing the shortcut is this way. The shortcut is this
It
way.
is. It is. It's a shortcut. And the way I explain, you're exactly right. This is the shortcut. This tool and all of the tools are intention based. You talk to them. You tell them what you want. If you actually look at the definition of your intentions, doing what you want them to do, now all of a sudden you realize, like, okay, I'm telling a pendant to do something and it's doing it now. Okay, why? Now you understand how powerful you are as an individual. Now you can see how powerful your intentions really are, how strong your thoughts can be. So when you stay in the light, keep your positive light, you do more. Instead of going to a lower vibrational state and using that energy to a negative point, it goes down. So utilizing these tools, it's really kind of interesting, and it allows you to keep your vibration higher. And one of the fun things I have, and I do this with everybody, especially when we're at conferences and stuff, is okay, when you're wearing the tool, put it on. If it's yours and it's only yours, you're never gonna, change it or share it with anybody else. You do right now, you're gonna put it on, tell it to reset, because now it's yours. Okay, now tell it to go to full power. Great. Now label it. What does it feel like? What does that feel like to you? Because everybody's different. Everybody has a different feeling for their energy because they not be fully sensitive yet. So they label it. So now your right brain feels it. Your left brain has something to do with it. Now you're labeling it. Your left brain's got something to do. So what you're doing is you're training your subconscious on how the feeling really is.
Nice.
Right? So at that point, you can actually, if you do this every day you put it on or whenever you take it off and put it back on again, label it, label it, label it, label it. Now, over time, you can actually just say the word in your head and it's there. It's done.
I think that's the description of moving through it and labeling it. I think that's so helpful. I know it's so helpful to so many people just to keep themselves conscious of what they're doing, conscious of they're paying attention to who they are, paying attention to what they're working through, and paying attention to, I just keep hearing, paying attention to all of us. We're all part of your world, and you need to know we're part of it. We're here. And by that labeling helps them realize there's someone more than just themselves there.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see. It's like we actually had one lady that came back. We met her again in Greece this year. She had bought a Metatron pendant 2 years ago. And she wore it every day. It was like it was religious for her, and she wore it all the time. And then we met her in Greece, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so upset. I lost my pendant." We went swimming. It was like 2 months prior. We had gone swimming, and it was in the ocean, and it just let it go, and it was in the ocean. And I'm like, "Can you remember it?" "Well, yeah." "Can you remember what it feels like?" "Okay." "Then, well, is it up? Put it on." And the minute she put it on, I could feel it again. It was right back.
Nice.
She no longer needed it. She liked it. She had already trained herself into it. It may take a year or two to actually train yourself into creating your own. It's morphing your own field into that frequency. And that's all these do. They train you to cheat. It's training you to put your field into a frequency.
And I think that's important and that's why they keep saying the repetition and putting those intentions, doing that each day really gets you understanding more who you are, the power you hold inside you, what you're capable of doing. And I think that's so important for people to realize that capability of their own personal power and how, like how you said, you didn't lose it, just put it back on. It's right there. That power is always within us, and you're helping people to focus and put their power in a certain spot and really make sure they're always putting that intention with their own personal power. That's something so huge. And a lot of times people don't want to do, I'm just hearing like a whole, like an hour regimental thing to use any tool during the day, where yours is just quick and simple and just keeps going.
Yeah, it's as fast as a thought. You put it on and connect to it. And if you're doing any resetting on your tools, which it can be done, it's not a big deal, but you put it on, you wear it, and you're telling it to do things through intentions, right?
Absolutely.
You want to basically allow the energy to be, let's say you're working on something, you want to check and see if it's been cleared.
Right.
Right. So, okay, I put the intention on the tool. It's been about a month. Okay. And okay, reset. Okay, am I still triggered by that particular thing anymore? Now you know it's gone. Right? And that's what you do. You actually, it's a tool. And it doesn't take a lot of time to do it. It's like, when do you meditate? You do it a couple times a week, a couple times a month, whatever. You put the intention on it, let it do its thing. And then you go and reset it once a month and then see where you are.
I like that. And it, to make it simple, easy, and they keep saying the shortcut for understanding who you are, the shortcut for tapping into us, the shortcut that doesn't have to make it such there. I just keep hearing all you humans make everything so hard and make everything hard work, and you need to not make hard work anymore.
Yeah, it's It's the funny thing is the environment we live in try to make it sound like this is the hardest thing in the world to do. I mean, it's like, oh, transcendental meditation, you can't do it without this class, or you can't do this without super help, or you need this guru to do this. And no, it's not that at all. Everything you need is inside. You may need guidance and help with somebody, especially when you start progressing, which is fine, but they're not replacing who you are. The innate power is inside.
Yes, I love that. I love that. It's knowing you may need guidance in here and there, but you can do it yourself. You will be doing it yourself as you progress. You will be doing it yourself. And knowing you have the power within you, you're just getting the guidance on how to get there. And that's what I love about these is it's a way for people when you don't know how to do the protection or what you're dealing with to be able to use some of that. And then not worry about it, not have the fear as you go through every day, just going, oh, I'm protected, I'm good, and I can keep going. So that's key. That's key. And the
Yes.
anxiety is through the roof lately, and to have something to help with that is key. So I'm impressed with all you're doing. And this is the first time I've really seen what you do. So it's very cool to see.
So we talked about the anklets and it closes your field. So what we do is for those that are really sensitive, they may not understand what they're sensitive in, and that's perfectly fine until when you actually if you're somebody that is like for us, like in Arizona and California, going into Costco and you're fine for the first 5 minutes, and then in 10 minutes you're getting antsy, at 15 minutes you're getting okay crazy, and at 20 minutes you're like, get me the hell out of this building. And then you get stressed just trying to get out of the parking lot because you're just going to get away. And it's just the energetic overload of so many people with all of their intentions and their problems and their energy being broadcast loud and clear out of everywhere. And the funny thing is if you get overloaded by that kind of thing, you are super sensitive. It is just that. It's nothing wrong with you. You are just naturally sensitive. And these tools can help you learn how to protect yourself. It's like you just put them on, turn them on with a thought. And then it's like, we do it to, we create armor sets is what we called it. A friend of mine was like, why don't you put anklets and a pendant together and call it an armor set? And I'm like, that's cool. We'll do that. And that way I can go into doing things like that now and go through Costco. And now I'm just dealing with people. I'm not dealing with their energy. And it's one of those things. It's like, okay, so now I'm not overwhelmed by their energetic whatever. Now I can just see what's going on and deal with the people and what they're doing instead. And most of the time it's like, really? But okay. But it's just like when you get people going to a store like that, their mindset is on the list in their hand or on their phone, and they don't care about anybody else. And it's obvious that they're the only ones on the planet at that moment walking through a Costco. And you can see it. They don't care.
Absolutely. It's really realizing people aren't there to piss you off all the time. Sometimes they're just in their own world. You need to
Completely.
realize
And a lot of
that.
people are that way. And it's not just a Costco. It's people driving, they're in their own world. It's like my biggest gripe is like, can you just keep up with traffic? That's my biggest gripe. Just keep up with traffic. Otherwise, you're creating a safety problem. And their own world. I'm going the speed limit. Leave me alone. Doop-de-doop-de-doo. It's like, okay, that's fine. Can you get in the line with everybody else doing the speed limit? That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. But they're in their own world. And some of these who not worry about their world and get back into your world too.
Yes, and that's one of the things that I see right now is everybody, well, in the mainstream, and especially in the narrative, is we got to take care of everything else outside. Oops, sorry. Everything outside, and they're not focusing on inside. And
Yes.
you can see the aftermath of that particular that thought process is we're negating health services to people that really have some mental conditions, the training and indoctrination in schools and all these different things going on, and the confusion that it's creating.
Yes.
And it's like they're not allowing, they're being told, this is your problem. Instead of looking in, it's like, I don't have a problem. I am just me. And you can be as unique as you want. I have no judgment in that whatsoever. That is not my what I'm saying. Is you have to be understanding who you are and not listen to what somebody else is telling you who you are. And that's the problem. It's like, focus on yourself, raise your own vibration, the world will take care of itself.
That is very true, because a lot of times, and it's the narrative out there, worry about everything else that's out there instead of really focusing on you. What's best for me? Who am I? How can I navigate the world and not worry about the rest of it? That's important, because the confusionary state that's being, I'm just going to say, kind of sometimes purposely created to keep us confused is out there. And to understand it's there, but it doesn't mean you need to take it on and just go, oh, okay, trying to make confusion, no big deal. Who am I? And just keep going back in. Who am I? What am I doing here? What are tools that can help me get to where I need to be to understand myself at a deeper level? That's all that it really needs to be. The confusion is out there. Don't take it on. Don't take it on. And that's one thing I think with what you're doing is helping people tune back in to themselves, tune back in to all those ascended masters that are always around us, always willing to help if you're willing to listen, but might not give you every answer.
Yeah, it's well, the thing is, it's like what we were talking about. It's like if you don't know where you are and you know that you could use some help, these tools will help. You may not understand them or feel them for a while until your energy starts to balance out, or for a while, even until you're ready for it. And that's perfectly fine. But one of the things we did notice, a lot of people do notice with these tools, is the fear that is projected in most of the mainstream narrative that is out there right now, whether it is World War III or this or that or whatever it is, there's all kinds of fear mongering that goes on. It's gone over the top for the last couple of years. When you have the armor on, the shielding up, you're not going to be influenced by the energy of the fear, and you're going to be able to actually see it for what it really is. And believe it or not, going through the entire COVID thing, I didn't feel the fear of it at all. And I was looking at it going, they're saying one thing on the TV screen, but I can actually go to the CDC website and I'm reading it right here, but it says no. That's not what, why are that, why is the TV saying something that the CDC is not saying? Why, what is, why is there such a discrepancy from what the narrative is projecting versus the real data? And that's the engineer in me had to go look. So I did. And that's the thing. It's just like, be who you are. And that's basically what you need to be. Protect your energy and be you. Don't be pushed around by other people's energy, especially when it comes to fear. Because fears are going to drop your energy down to a place where you're programmable.
Very true. I always like to say if something is being pushed as fear, there's a reason behind it. So look at something different. Do some investigating, figure things out, because there's nothing you should have fear about. It's only what's being pushed to you at this point. So definitely take the time to look at the fear. And with these tools, when you don't know, when, like they're just saying, when, like you had said, when you don't know the answer, then just go into just do the protection of yourself so you can start hearing the answers once again. Because sometimes it's more of just taking care of you, getting yourself back in balance. And when you do that, then you can start hearing the answers. Then you can start hearing more guidance. But knowing sometimes you just need to balance yourself back out, and then it starts.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest one for people that are unsure would be Michael.
Nice. I was just going to say, which one would you recommend if people are not sure where to go, not sure what to get? What's the first step if they're just, I have no idea, where should I start?
It would be Michael. If they are energy sensitive, it would be a Michael armor set.
Nice.
Okay, that would actually put two layers of shielding along with the calm and clearing and energy healing all at the same time. If you have dealt with a lot of stress and trauma, which is, well, planet Earth for the last 3 years. So everybody's dealt with it. So the Shamuel is really super strong with that. And armor set on that fact would be extremely calming. So it depends on where you are, but it's and how strong of a protection you really need to have. Now, if you're really advanced on your spiritual journey, that's where the multidimensional, the three ring comes in.
Nice.
The big one here. Let me get this back in here. The multidimensional, that one is crazy strong on that. To the point where we put one on the front of somebody and then one on the back chakra. So wearing one on the front, one on the back.
Nice.
And this has happened more than once. One lady actually got popped out of her, not really out of her body, but she's like out of her current dimension. So we were in Shasta, and the next thing you know, she's on a what do you call it, seashore. She was amphibian. She could see her fur. She was describing the whole town, people, everything else. It was really
Nice.
cool. We were at
That is
Conscious Life
cool.
Expo, and we had to put them on this older lady. She put them on. It's like, oh, I see planets. And I was just like, that's cool. You know, and Danny and Brinkley, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's been hit by lightning multiple times, like five or six times, something like that. So he's died, come back, died and come back, died and come back. The first time he
Stay out
tried
of the
that on,
storm.
yeah, exactly. He actually could put it on and actually look. He actually looked down. We were at San Mateo, the New Living Expo in San Mateo, California. And he was wearing it and he looked down. And he could look side to side. I can actually see the dimensional barriers. I was like, that's cool.
That's cool. Very cool.
This tool here, this is the multidimensional. This one is really good for those that are on the higher levels of their path to allow them to connect much easier to their higher selves, to do more with their experiences. It's going to give you a leg up just a little bit more than where you're at now when you're wearing it. It's
Nice.
not going to pop you out of your body instantly and go someplace. It's just not going to scare you to death. But this is also for those that are actually doing healing, doing remote work and stuff like that. So you could actually wear this one and it actually will clear your channel.
Nice.
And you could actually hear and see things much clearer, especially when you're dealing with the other person. The energy is coming from their higher selves. So this is a tool for, you know, more of a service to others. And
Nice.
service to your highest service to your journey. So that's what the multidimensional is for. So
Very
the
cool.
tools have their different tool, you know, different tunings per se.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to see where it's all going to go, where you're going to move everything through, and to know that each and every one has their own specific aspect, how they can help people. And they're saying so my team is just saying something for me. I always share to people, if you're not sure what to get, check in with your instinct. It's pulling you. So trust your intuition and move with that as you go forward. So that's something I think people, if you're not sure too, is check in with your intuition. What are you drawn to? What makes you is just making you excited to look at? Because that's going to know you're going to your intuition knows exactly what's needed for you going forward.
And do that if these tools are really into, you know, into what you're doing. You can always do a that procedure I was talking about, where you put it, you know, very visualize the tool on, and feel it. Some of the tools you will not feel, and that is perfectly fine. Do not take that as something that is wrong with you. That is not the way that works. I have been doing this for 8 years, and there are people that I've had different pendants on the table. And they'll pick one up and I'll put it on here. It's like, I don't feel anything. So, okay, that was not yours. So try another one.
That's something I think people need to know too. When you don't feel something from something, it's just not meant for you in the moment. Not a big deal. Just move on to something else. It's not you're not doing something wrong, and you see somebody else and they're like, "Oh, I felt so much from that." You pick it up and you don't feel anything. It's just not for you. You're different. Everyone's different and unique. So why not embrace that versus putting yourself down because you didn't feel what someone else felt? Which, why would you feel something the same as someone else? Because you're different anyhow. So it's letting yourself go from that.
Yeah, and really be gentle with yourself, especially when you're working in energy. Nobody is the same. Nobody. I have different gifts than you do. And, you know, Angel, you have different gifts than anybody else. And Vivian has different gifts. We're all different. We all came in with specific gifts. Now, you may not know what they are yet. That's part of the fun. Try to figure out who you are at this point.
I think that is the fun part, is like, what am I going to learn next? Who am I going to be next? You know, and just like you've changed from who you were to who you are now. And
oh, yeah.
Are you, and for people that are kind of on this journey, are you fearful about more changes coming up, or are you looking forward to the changes coming up for you, even though you don't know what they are?
The changes that are coming are going to be amazing. They're going to be challenging, so don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I love the analogy of this, and it's, I heard this years ago, and I thought it was always good. Just think of it right now as we're, the powers that be are playing a game of chess, right? The light has been playing one side, the dark is playing the other. Now, if you're playing chess, right, you have two masters playing this game. They're already gaming it out 7-8 steps ahead. Both of them are. And they already know 7-8 steps ahead that they've lost.
Huh.
That, you know, now we know the dark side is not going to win this war. It's gone. It's done.
Right.
Now, the light side is going to be shifting. So there's going to be a divergence of energies, and this is where we're going to be going. So as long as you're working on your light and you know that this is where we're going, you're going on that path. The people that want to continue doing what they're going to be doing, they're going to be going on a different path. And that's perfectly fine for them. Don't try to convert everybody, because they're not going to go. And it's just that thing. It is what it is. So the game has been set. The game is already won. We're just watching them play it out. And the dark side's not going to concede until the last, you know, the last domino is, or the last piece has fallen over, period.
I like that analogy. I like the analogy, because it's, so many people are so worried about, are we going to make it? Are we not going to make it? Is the light going to win? Is the dark going to win? Is fear going to take over? Are we going into World War III? They're going the whole thing. And it's like, yeah, we've already got this. We're just playing it out, letting the last of it play out, and not to worry about it so much, and enjoy. Just keep, for me, I'm excited about it. I think you are excited about where this is going to go. Do we know how it's going to all happen? Not all of it. Does it matter? No, we'll figure it out as we get there.
Not really.
I think that's so
important. There's no reason to know everything. It loses part of the fun. It's part of the experience of being incarnated here, doing this now. You have to understand, it's like, if you look at Dolores Cannon's, and this is one of the things that I thought was really interesting, she called it the three waves. I think we're on wave 6 or 7 now, whatever you want to call it. And if you read her books, the first wave was those coming back into the world, trying to break the barriers of understanding of what we're talking freely about right now, which
right.
couldn't have been done 60, 70, 80 years ago.
No.
So this is what she talks about. The first wave was the hardest wave. The second wave got easier, and it gets easier and easier and easier the closer we get to the finale of what's coming in. So the more light that's actually shown, the less cockroaches.
Absolutely. And more light is being shown every single day. Every
Correct.
Single day. It's more and more light is being shown on everything. So knowing we're fine, we're going to be fine. Just don't worry about how it all plays out, but just kind of look with, they're just saying, with anticipation, look at what's going to happen, but not with the fear, and with excitement, because you know which side you're on. And that's all that matters.
Yep. Let them play it out and turn off the TV. Don't stop watching the news, because it's all a narrative, and they call it programming for a reason.
Absolutely. I agree. I haven't watched regular TV for quite some time.
Turn that off in 2008. Long time.
Yeah, a long time. And I just want to say thank you so much, Reader, for being here. I appreciate everything you've been sharing with people. I think this is going to be so helpful to so many people that are listening. And I'm just encouraging all of you out there to make sure to go on Peter's website. It's energiesofservice.com. He's also on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. So make sure to check that out. And when you go on his website, you'll be able to find all of his amazing tools that are there. And again, you're listening before, if you're listening and you place an order before the end of July of 2024, punch in EDGE10 for an extra 10% off of everything he has. And Peter, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close this episode?
Well, I think we covered pretty much everything spot on. And these tools are here to assist you on your path. And I'm, like we said, it's like I got scolded for not making them. So they want them out there, and they're, and Angela's telling you as well, they're talking about it. These tools are helping you. It's like a shortcut. So use the tool for what it really is. And it's going to help you get an understanding of how you feel natively for your own frequency without anybody else's bothering you, because we're influenced by everything else around us. We don't realize it because we're not taught that. These tools allow you to feel you, then you can actually experience who you are and grow and increase your vibration to where you need to be. I guess that's where you want to put it.
Love that. Love that. And it's so true. This is a shortcut. It's like they're going like this. We're offering it to you if you're willing to take it.
Exactly. You know, it's I keep on, like, there's more coming. There are more tools coming. I just have to, I need more time. And that's one of the, that's my, and I'm doing this full time. I need more time. It's really funny.
I know how that goes. And, you know, when it's time for the next tool, they'll make sure you have the time to do it. So no worries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Peter. I appreciate it greatly. And we were talking about Vivian Chauvet, her episode. You can go ahead and look at the replays. I have, if you've missed any past episodes, you can go back in. You can listen to the downloadable podcast. You can also go to my YouTube channel, Angela Zabel, Teacher Coach Medium, and you can watch all of the past interviews there. So make sure to check them out, because there's a lot of great information out there. And I encourage everyone to watch the first and third Tuesdays of the month are new episodes that are always coming out at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, I want to thank you so much, Peter, for being here and sharing your knowledge, sharing who you are, and encourage all of you, check out his website, energiesofservice.com. And all those links will be down below also. Remember, EDGE10 for your 10% off. And I just want to thank you again, Peter. Thank you for being here. And I also just want to thank all of the people out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for expanding and amplifying our universe together. Thank you, and have an absolutely amazing day.